What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The top-ranked show in the city.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Stroud under center, takes the knee. The season is over for the Houston Texans. They charge into Arrowhead Stadium, but come up short 23-14 and see their drive for the AFC Championship game come to an end. Kansas City prevails. Texans start their offseason.
All right, that is the final call. And the Texans, again, as we said, obviously, many of you know they lost in Kansas City. Their season is now over. They'll get ready for next year in a tough loss. As you could see, a lot of people understandably frustrated, upset after that game ended. We do this each and every Monday. Remember, we're off a little early today. Last time we had three-hour Mondays. Next week, we will go back to our regular four. Coach's show one last week. D'Amico Ryans, you can catch him at 5 o'clock as soon as we get done. But, Clint, we do this every week, and this will be the last time we do it until next year, is the grade for C.J. Stroud. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, C.J. Stroud's grade, 19 for 28, 245, no touchdowns, no turnovers, rating of a 95. And he had six carries, and for the second week in a row, Clint, he used his legs. I was a little nervous for him, a little bit here, like, hey, man, chill out. Davis Mills might slide his way into this game and may have to take a snap. But six carries for 42 yards. What was your grade for CJ?
I got him in a B. Look, again, the bar is, I mean, you get into the A's, you're the reason that you win a game. You're playing as well as anybody in the league kind of deal. So that's the bar up high. I only say that to say I thought CJ did everything that he could given the situation. I mean he literally with his legs or with pinpoint accuracy kept drives alive and made several throws. I mean, there was zero separation being created for the most part, with the exception of Nico a few times. There, the throw on the dig route that kept a drive alive late to Nico Collins in the middle of three defenders was unbelievable. The anticipation.
How about the one to Schultz?
The accuracy. The throw to Schultz was absolutely ridiculous. A couple of the tight throws to Mechie. The one on the sideline to Nico late. I thought it was more of a throwaway than anything, and he ends up catching it. So, you know, I thought CJ did a tremendous job. I would have given him a B+, but when you watch the film, The thought that CJ doesn't have control of the line of scrimmage, he may not have full autonomy and like be able to do whatever the hell he wants to do, but CJ definitely is redirecting some of the traffic at the line of scrimmage, and I thought it was an absolute horrendous job at the end of the game. It just doesn't make football sense what they ended up doing. I thought he should have called a timeout on the fourth down when the clock was running down and the game was on the line.
I thought he should have punted it.
He didn't call a timeout. Sure, yeah. No, I mean, anybody could have called a timeout. We're just talking about CJ, right? I think CJ should have called a timeout in that moment. We've talked about this multiple times. Like, to me, the next step for CJ is, like, he got to take ownership in this thing. Like, if he doesn't have the ability to communicate the line of scrimmage, and damn it, he's got to go to D'Amico Ryans right now and say, hey, coach, here's what has to happen. I'm the one out there getting my ass kicked every Sunday or every Saturday or every Thursday, whatever it is. I need to have the ability to redirect this protection. Assuming he doesn't have it now. Or if he does have it, then he's got to get it right and he's got to take some ownership in what they're doing. But situationally, he should have called a timeout right there. I thought there was one time when, again, in that last set, it was one of the late, and this is the fourth quarter. They got in there, they kicked the field goal. or it may have been right before the run of the touchdown run for Joe Mixon. But either way, I thought he got happy feet. The pressure had gotten to him. He was actually protected pretty well. And Mechie was screaming across the back of the end zone, I think, for a touchdown. But he'd already bailed. So there's a couple of little things here and there that I docked him for. So I would give him a B. I thought for the most part, I mean, he was the only reason they were even in that game late.
I'm probably B plus, to be honest with you. Now he nearly did twice, but for him not to turn that ball over with all that pressure, Shaq Mason just one of the worst displays I've ever seen. This wasn't a free rusher. This was Charles Omenihu lined up right over you, and he whooped your ass so fast. And I mean, he didn't even get to hit the back foot, and he got stripped. Luckily, Shaq recovered it. And then he almost threw a pick on the play on third down, trying to get it in to Nico where Justin Reed got injured. Those were the only closest times he turned the ball over. But with all that pressure to not turn it over, with the lack of receivers out there and help out there where you could see, like, yeah, there may be some forces in DeNico. I thought he played pretty well. And to me, I think he's going to have to be smart to not get himself hurt. But in that game, win or go home, I thought he used his legs really, 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 really well. The first one that led to points, a third down and 10, and it was clear he was just waiting for that linebacker to run out and clear space, and he knew he was going to run the whole way, and he runs it for 28 yards and gets them from a third and long into damn near field goal range there. So I thought the way he used his legs was good, but man, he was going to be in a tough spot anyway, because if the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo are going to pressure the way they're capable of pressuring, and your line is going to be there, and we understand how they have played throughout the season. This isn't the first time they've given up this many sacks in a game. They've done this before. It was going to be a tough thing, and then to try to depend on, you know, the Hutchinsons and Mechies in the game was tough. So I gave him a B. Wesley, B minus, said maybe C plus on his grade. Other grades, C minus. I don't know. I think that's a little low. Someone text in an A. I couldn't go away. B plus was it, maybe if, you know, a touchdown or whatever, but I don't know. I thought, like, the long drive in the third quarter, I thought he managed things really, really well.
Started out really well.
And did what he needed to do. But A's a little strong here. They put up 12 points and just couldn't make
it. That's nothing to say. 12-point outing, it's hard for me to get to an A. I need C.J. Stroud to take more ownership in what's going on. It's time, man. The first 2 years, understand it. Totally get it, man. Young dude. Mature beyond his years, obviously, or he wouldn't play the caliber of football he's playing. But this has got to become C.J. Stroud's offense, not Bobby Slowick's offense. Period. Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Like, you look like Andy's a great play caller, but Pat's got complete control of what the hell's going on out there. The one thing I think that was obvious, and Ryan, you spoke a little bit this Friday, I think, in terms of the moment and how and where the Texans are going to be ready. I thought down the stretch with overall, now it shows through the quarterback, but this is really an organizational deal. I think down the stretch we saw exactly what you were talking about.
I think to start the game.
Well, that too. I'm just talking about from the offense. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
that's
just the offense part of side of it. Like, we saw Pat Mahomes go out there and, you know, just in critical moments, cool, calm, collected, getting the right play, find the right guy, stick to the plan, and then you saw CJ just pressured an ungodly amount. You saw him getting the hell beat out of him, running for his life, and that's just like he's got to take ownership and be able to handle those situations no matter who's calling the plays or who's hurt or not or what kind of protection he has. He's got to get to a point where he handles that better.
Yeah. What do you think? Because it was a weird offensive game, right? And I continue to say, man, 12 points, man, it's hard to get to. I mean, You got to 12, and then the Chiefs at the end gave you two more to get to 14. But you scored 12 points in this game, Clint. But there were some really good moments, right? As you said, the start was really good. And they ran. Clint, I've watched the Chiefs for the last, I don't know how many years, especially the last couple of years with this defense. No team. I can't remember the last team that ran the football like they did. When you combine what CJ did to what Mixon did to what hell, Damian Pierce had a couple of solid runs in there. They ran it well on a team that has been really, really good all season long in stopping the run. One of the top run defense. They ran it. That drive, boy, couldn't have been better. I mean, the Chiefs offense was sitting over there. It's 6 minutes, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus minutes.
Yeah.
They saw the ball under 5 minutes. But then you look up, damn, they got sacked 8 times. They scored 12 points. It was a weird offensive game for the Texans, some good and some bad. How would you say Bobby was in this offense? What did you see from that?
Well, look, I mean, I think there's some good things, but when we, again, when you're one of eight teams remaining and you're playing for a trip to the AFC Championship, like we can't, like I can't grade you on a midseason scale. Like for me, I think Bobby was rough. I think
rough throughout. Like that would be.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's for me, it's more on the offensive coordinator that Dalton Schultz was put in that position at the end of the game. Like I said, that should never happen. Now we can get to a point and talk about how soft Dalton Schultz is, and we will. But like reality is, it should never happen. Whether he's capable of doing it or not, it should never happen. In that particular moment. By my estimation, I watched the film and now I got distracted with my little girl once this morning when I was watching it. But Nico Collins went in motion one time. When Andy Reid was trying to get a wide receiver a touch, what'd he do?
A lot of motion. Yeah.
Why? Because you got to get him away from 4 and 24. He's got to get him away. You can't just put him out there and go, well, I'm just going to throw it up at Derek Stingley Jr. I'm just going to throw it up at Lassiter to get worthy a touch. No, I'm going to move him around and hopefully get a linebacker on him, get a nickel defender on him.
Yeah, Nico looked a lot different when he was away from McDuffie.
One time in the first drive, he moved him kind of the worthy motion where he swung out behind the quarterback. He did that and handed the ball off to Mixon Strong. Didn't move him again the whole game. Like that's, I mean, he called that game and designed that game for Nico like Diggs and Tank were healthy and Dalton was having a bang up year. Like the camera kept panning over to Nico and Nico was on the sideline battling something, it looked like.
Yeah.
So maybe that was, there was an issue there. They were trying to save him. But I thought when it came down to it, the protection issues and the inability to get Nico touches in scheme, consistently. Some of the stuff over the middle that's been there all year long, they're really good with. Hit a couple of those. But, boy, just leaving him stationary I thought was a major, major mistake, man.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. You want to give a grade?
I mean, you don't have to give a grade. I was just
disappointed. Like I said,
it was just disappointed. It was weird because there was some good in there. There like that drive in the third quarter, I think might have been the best drive of the season.
Yeah. No, like they're look, the drive out of the gate, the script was tremendous. But Ron, like I want to call some guys this evening or DM some guys this evening. That pass protection that was fell in late. I know it just looks like there's a free runner, but like it's so elementary that my mind is blown. That not once, not
like,
twice,
like you
but
don't
three
think
snaps
the
in a row.
If the Chiefs do this to Buffalo next week, that they will handle it completely. It will look completely different.
I mean, they won't do it. Like I don't know. Like the adjustment was to move your running back to one side or the other, and then slide the protection in the direction of him, which meant you're sliding it in the direction of the defender that has him man. Like you knew that guy wasn't coming because he's got to guard the running back. Like you knew, like that was the plan in those situations, was literally move the running back to the left of the quarterback and then slide that way. And on top of your sliding two Tunsil, and on top of that, you're full sliding with your whole line instead of leaving your backside tackle on the DN. To me, it blows my mind that there's not a better plan for that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it happens every Sunday. Maybe it's just this team. But as I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But when I look at a game film, the quarterback's getting heated up, and I go before the ball's ever snapped. Like, this is automatically a slide right. This is automatically a slide right. And all of a sudden, the line gets up there and slides hard left. It's like, who's communicating this? What's the method of the madness?
I don't know, Tyler. I don't know about you. It was weird watching it. I felt like, I guess the offense at times hasn't been this bad today, but I look up there, man, it's 12 points. And then, I mean, I think they had 5 sacks in the fourth quarter, so maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, the fourth quarter got out of hand late. The sack thing is probably a bit blown out of proportion just because it got out of hand at the very end of the game. It was more of an end of the game problem than it was a whole game problem.
Just in weird moments, but
you just can't run like you said. You just can't. I mean, the Chiefs are a team you just can't make. You can't make mistakes against them. You can't make that many mistakes against a team like the Chiefs.
Yeah, to me, I felt like I'm looking like, because I'm thinking these guys have been confused on stunts and everything all year. They damn sure gonna be confused on like that. There's one where Nick, the
linebacker.
Yeah, linebacker. I don't know how I've just lost. Nick Bolton comes up, and I mean, he just confused Shaq Mason to death. Yeah. And Nick ran out in coverage.
That's one of them because he had the running back. And he took off.
And he took off.
Yeah.
And then he just let that D lineman just roll. And I'm just like, man, to me, the Chris Jones one and the first one, the third Nate, how Blake, because I knew Blake was going to struggle with either body. He was going to be the one that needs help. And I'm like, y'all gonna keep putting Chris Jones over here alone against Blake Fisher. That's going to be a prop.
Well, when Bobby said during the week, like, it starts with Chris Jones, you got to know where 95 is. Doesn't seem like you knew where he was.
Yeah. They might probably at some point could have taken a look at 56. or not.
Can't keep up with them all.
In theory, I guess Dalton Schultz and Dare on a 2-on-1 with him would work. But
Ron, 56, I mean, you know him better than I do. But, like, in this game, I think it was Beck. I think it was Beck one time. Or maybe it was 83. Maybe it was Irv. But one of them ran out there and bucked him. And now he still beat him. He still got back there and caught. But bucked him, and 56 said, whoa, and stopped his feet. You know, like, damn, okay. That's all you need against a guy like that, right? With what you're trying to do. It's all you can ask a guy to do. Problem was, Dalton won't buck him.
Yeah.
Dalton won't buck a damn soul, man.
All right. As Clint lets Dalton get to him during the break. Coming up, our Manai Players of the Game, our Manai Institute Players of the Game. You can text yours in as well. We'll do that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, one final time this year, text him in. Who is your Manai Institute players or player of the game? Who is it? Who is your player of the game? And listen, in a tough one, there were many options. I'll kick this thing off, fellas. My Manai Institute player of the game is Will Anderson. He was great. He was dominant at times. He did exactly what he should do to those tackles. Those tackles are not as good as him. And in the last game, I was very disappointed in him and Danielle Hunter and not really making an impact in that game. Hell no. They made an impact. He made an impact big time. He looked special. 2 sacks in that game. Several tackle for loss in that game. He hit the quarterback. And there was, like, you remember those times last year where we questioned and wondered if he had the ability to you know, not just, hey, outwork you, bull rush you. Does he have moves to? He did like a shimmy move on Joe Tooney one time, and I mean, I thought Joe Tooney rolled his ankle on the step trying to get there, and bam, he was right there on him. He went on the other side, got him. That play, like, the Chiefs could have gotten on the board in the end zone early, because if he doesn't get there with Xavier Worthy's speed, I think Xavier Worthy, if he doesn't score, may get them into a place where Kareem Hunt may be able to run it in. But his block goes through Kelsey's block and then one hand and doesn't get him on the back where it would have been horse collar. He gets him on the shoulder and rips him down. That was an amazing play early in the game. So Will Anderson, fantastic man, and has had a hell of a year and has taken his game to another level. Big time for Will Anderson.
Ron, for me with Will Anderson, man, we talked about it on the postgame show. I have no problem at all. I'm confident. I'm comfortable. And I can say it with my chest. From a take over a game, wreck a game standpoint, I put him up there with the best in the game right now. I mean, we can talk stats and this and that and DNs versus outside linebackers and all that kind of stuff. But when you talk about like what he was able to do yesterday or Saturday, and what he was able to do in the playoffs, what he was able to do throughout the year. I mean, at any point in time, he can take over a game and absolutely wreck an offense and as good as anybody in the league right now.
Second half, the Chiefs knew that they could not just leave Joe Tooney over there alone with him. So they had to send chips and things like that.
Yeah, also, I tip my cap to Will Anderson for the comments that he made. I don't know if it was post-game or if it was today in the locker room. I don't remember where it came from, but just the thought of, we've got to, we got to find a way to not lose to the Jets and the Titans, and we got to learn to put teams like Detroit, when we get five interceptions, we got to put them to bed. Just that the ability 48 hours after a game to have that outlook for a young player is pretty solid. Will Anderson's a good one. I'm going to go with Joe Mixon. 18 carries, 88 yards, damn near 5 yards a carry. As you mentioned earlier, he had a touchdown. As you mentioned earlier, I think the Chiefs are the fourth-ranked run defense in football. Really good up front. So, Joe Mixon thought he was, to start the game for some reason. We never saw it again, but he was in the slot, catches a little pivot route, a little option route. I thought that was big. Again, I don't know why we didn't see it again, but it was it was good to see. So I'm gonna roll with Joe Mixon.
Yeah, especially fellas, it was he obviously hurt his ankle Wednesday, and he didn't practice Thursday, and there were reports Friday, as we talked on the show, that he may be a game time decision. He was hurt. There was some issues there with that ankle, and it was never something that even looked like he had an issue. Like, the ankle never seemed like it was a problem at all for Joe Mixon. And you could see once the threat of him, or they stopped him a couple of drives and they had to go third and long, were that hurt the Texans big time when they couldn't get to the ball. But for him to run through that third quarter drive, the only drive they had, that was a special, special drive. And Joe Mixon was probably the biggest part of that drive, and he finished it off with that touchdown. So, yeah, Joe Mixon was really,
well,
really good.
Ron, another part of Joe Mixon is, I don't know what the post-game conversations were, but my understanding is that C.J. Stroud, as well as Joe Mixon, kind of talked to the team in the locker room afterwards. I heard they were tremendous. I don't really know what to think about C.J. Stroud in that perspective, from being that vocal leader. I think this team has got to feel the leadership void on offense in a big, big way. They got to flip that in a big way. And I think part of that is realizing who C.J. is and how he leads. So I say all that to say I doubt that I would personally be real impressed with what C.J. had to say after the game. But I'd be willing to bet you that whatever Joe Mixon had to say was on point. I mean, he's the kind of guy that his mentality, his leadership, his play, I think is a championship caliber dude. Mentality, approach.
He's been to the Super Bowl, so he's been there with Cincinnati. All right, Tyler. There are options, man. Tyler, who is your player of the game?
Well, I can tell you who the hell my player of the game isn't, and that is anybody involved with the special teams unit of the Houston Texans. But my player of the game here...
Your player of the game's not Chris Boyd?
No, hell no. Anybody on special teams, just go sit in a corner and think about your life, man. Just go think about it. But no, my player of the game, it's going to go to the group of fellas that might as well be wearing red and white, but they're wearing black and white. I'm going to go with the officiating crew from this divisional round matchup between the Chiefs and Texans up at Arrowhead.
Let it out, man.
Great job by y'all, man. I mean, whether it was the Phantom roughing the passer that continued to drive that would have been a punt ending up in 3 points, or whether it was Justin Reed jumping off sides on a missed Kaimi field goal, or whether it was, several other horrendous calls by the referees in this Chiefs-Texans game, we obviously know who they were playing for. Good job, refs, if you're in Kansas City. You're the player of the game.
There you go. Let it out, man. Let it out, man. Let that out your heart, man. Everyone should let it out. There is your players of the game, your Manai Institute players of the game right here on The Drive. All right, coming up, we got to get into that defense because, look, that was a big-time performance. They were put in tough spots multiple times in this game, and they came through for the most part. But there is a serious-ass question that we need some answers to. And I don't know if we're going to get them because I don't think we got them. Hopefully we do. We'll talk about that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, a Reaction Monday. Mostly reacting to the loss of the Houston Texans as their season comes to an end. And they look forward to an offseason to try to get better and try to get past this point that they've run up against the last couple of years. Real quick, national championship game tonight, Notre Dame, Ohio State. Who you got?
I know Ohio State.
Ohio State. You think this is a game? It's competitive?
I mean, hell, I've been wrong every damn game I feel like we talked about. But
have you?
Yeah, damn near. And it wasn't even a... like a Texans Chiefs, just a vibe, hometown vibe. It's just I ain't got no skin in the game, and I just been, feel like I've been dead ass wrong. I mean, this is a game where I feel like by far the best team, the best quarterback. I mean, is Ohio State? I mean, I
can they yuck this thing up? That's what Notre Dame's got to do. They got to yuck this thing up, and like you can see them. Hey, get the ball. Hey, short pass, little run here from Love, and it's third down and three or two, and here comes, you know, the quarterback with the run, and bam, that just keeps coming down, and they just, next thing you know, they got the ball for 6 or 7 minutes, yep. and they're, you know, at least in range to score somewhat.
Riley Leonard always looks like the kid in the that's playing backyard ball. That's ball that's 2 years younger than everybody, and you just beating the hell out of him. He's got grass stains all over his pants.
It looked like they just be in third and four and three a lot. That's it. And he's gonna keep one of them bad.
Yeah.
I'll have four best bets for you coming up at 4:40 regarding the Irish versus the Buckeyes tonight.
Yeah, I hope it's competitive. It's in Atlanta tonight, so that'll be one to watch. All right, I do want to get to this defense because they were excellent for the most part. We'll have to get to the one thing that is still a bit mystifying, but they were excellent for the most part. But can I ask this question? Hey, what the hell is going on with Christian Harris? Hey, bro, he had one defensive snap.
You can't tell me that this.
D'Amico has not addressed this, right? I know it was not talked about Saturday after the game, and I'll have to go through today's. And I know Tyler, you went through it. You listen. I don't remember him talking about the Christian. He played one snap. He has not been on the injury list at all. Nothing. Was he on special teams? He was playing special teams.
Yeah.
What was that about? You said he's the most talented linebacker on this team.
What? And literally the minute he got back, he was in the game. The interesting thing, Ron, is I heard in the loop guys talking about it and talking about, well, it could be you just, you know, you like Toa Toa was playing really good. And okay, I could see that. Set the comments about how good this guy could be. Set those aside. I can see where the guy that's been there practicing. I mean, Christian Harris missed a lot of football, right? I can see where Toa Toa and Aziz, maybe you feel better about them right there on the inside. But man, Aziz went out for an extended period of time yesterday. 43 was on the field.
Hewitt.
Yeah, Neville Hewitt was on the field a bunch. Like, I don't know. Like, that's got to be one of the biggest questions going into this offseason. He's a guy that you hoped was a game changer for you.
I'm sorry, Clint. I don't understand it.
I'm just trying to make sense of it.
Henry was playing well, but this is... like, this is to me of, like, if Lassiter or Stingley missed 8 weeks and they came back and they were healthy, and when they came back, you brought them and immediately played them. He played 80-something% of the snaps that first game he came back.
Yeah.
And he made an impact. Now he's down to 1 in the playoffs, 7 in the last game. And like someone just texted in, hey, fellas, Christian Harris still injured to only have 1 snap. Then has stopped trotting him on special teams if he's still injured.
Yeah, he's playing special teams. Like that. And then you look at, which I think we're fixing to have a conversation about, the way that Azeez Al-Shaair was caught out of position a couple of times, big times. Even though it was zone most of those times, that's what you have Christian Harris for. Like, he's a cover guy. I mean, even if it's zone, he shuts down windows. He understands feel of what receivers, like, better than normal linebackers do.
He was doing it all over the Dolphins game when he returned. Yeah, he was doing it all. That one right there. I don't understand, to go along with the Shaq Mason shenanigans. That was weird. You said he is your best and most athletic linebacker, and my man over there chilling. I don't know if he did something. I don't know. Now, even without him, they had a great performance, Clint. We talked about, is it a championship defense? It's very, very close. And they played at points. To do what they did, when you get the opening kickoff, I mean, here we go, man. Let's go. We're ready to go, baby. Let's make a statement. We deferred. Let's make a statement. They run the thing 60-something yards to get a fumble. They recover it. Chris Boyd just goes berserk. I don't know what that's about. I mean, I don't think John Cena's been pushed that hard in a ring. I don't think Stone Cold's been pushed that hard in a ring. I don't know what that's about. But the defense, what did the Chiefs do? They lost a yard. Like, they came right out. Then they did it again after the tough call. They did it again. The bad call, they did it again and kept them to 3. The only thing that they really got hurt on, we'll discuss here in a bit. But the defense was really, really, really good. When D'Amico went for that 4th and 10 for no damn reason, and then CJ ran it back and got tackled on the other side of the 50. They held him down there again and didn't even get him in field goal range. Like, the defense was really, really good at times, except for one thing, Clint. They were really, really good. Will Anderson was good. Hell, Mario Edwards was good up front. The guys in the middle, they were really, really good. Shut the run down. The Chiefs could not run the football. So we got to give them. It was a near championship level performance from that defense, and that is something you could be extremely excited of. If there was anything that was ready to play, like I asked Friday, is this team ready for this game? For the most part, that defense was, except for I don't know what that was with Kelsey, but for the most part, it was.
Yeah, no. Look, I thought they were tremendous. Another reason why I'm typically not a ref guy. But another reason why I think those penalties were just so damning is because the defense was playing so good. And early on, I mean, you can argue there was one the right after the first roughing penalty, the throw over the top on a little corner route to Travis Kelce. But other than that, until about the 5 to 6 minute mark in the second quarter, like, Pat and Andy were they just couldn't figure it out. They were having a tough time figuring out this defense. And now once they got that big play down the middle to Kelce and
they came out on the missed field goal.
Yeah.
They came out, they almost hit Hollywood Brown as it ran past him.
But they were having, I mean D'Amico was giving them fits, and then all of a sudden the dam broke a little bit. But yeah, look, I think I said this right after the game. I think this defense is as is, and look, they're gonna get better. They're gonna add pieces, they're gonna get better. But I think as is right now, this is a championship caliber defense. You can protect your quarterback, and love or hate, agree or disagree with the penalties, don't have the 30 yards of penalties that keep drives alive. You can win a championship with that. I mean,
the only thing is you just can't lose. And you said it. We were talking about you thought Kelce was still that guy, even though Worthy was coming on. They felt like the offense had gotten better with Hollywood Brown returning. You got Hopkins out there. You always felt it was Kelce. And he showed you early and often. Yeah. And, like, it just never – for Kelce to catch the ball, and you see that Kelce – 2 years ago, Kelce takes that into the end zone. Like, for him to get the yards after catch, but that being shown that there was nobody around him to be able to get that, was crazy in this game. I mean, he is passing Jerry Rice by the game
yeah.
on postseason statistics, and He's just wide shocked. Open, and you just allowed him to kill you.
Shocked, man. I know there was one TV copy highlight early on when.
Oh, I
when,
can't wait till Tape Drop Tuesday tomorrow to see what it is that you look at.
Well, there was that where Stingley was on him early on, but boy, there was just, I can't believe that there was not an adjustment made to where Stingley just shadowed, or Lassiter, for that matter, just shadows Travis Kelce, and keep, whether you play in man or zone, just mix it up that way where you get a better cover defender over the middle of the field. And I mean, to me, that's the biggest mistake that DeMeco made all year long.
Yeah.
Because it was like the plan, okay, cool. The plan, I get it. Have your plan, feel good about it, go out there. But at some point, you got to realize, hey, man, Travis Kelce's hot. Hey, Pat's looking for him. Hey, Andy Reid is manipulating the hell out of us, just keeping our cover defenders out wide and working the middle of the field. At some point, you gotta adjust.
It was just
it
so
didn't
many.
Seem like he ever did.
You talk about just so many plays. It's just like third and four, right? They get to me, which I thought was, you know, whatever the penalty bit. It's third and four down there. Third and four or six down there. And this is right after the touchdown drive. And Travis just comes up. And he's just all alone on that third down, and he gets another 12 yards.
A little drag underneath.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like every time, it was just like, it's one thing if he's getting beat, and he just, like that one in the middle where he just beat Miles Bryant for that game to get in. Like, right. Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to beat Miles Bryant, those two together. But, damn, it's just the ones where he's just, you got three guys running a one receiver to just leave him wide open in the middle of the field, so. Just too many times that was happening. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
Yeah, man, we talked a little earlier. We talked about how in the hell are we still seeing ... the most frustrating things about Saturday's game. We talked about two of them. I'll recap them real quick for you when we start the next segment. And then I've got three more that are just mind-blowing, can't-happen types of situations or mistakes that the Texans made against the Chiefs on Saturday, as well as Ron just mentioned Boyd shoving the special teams coach on the first play of the game after he threw his helmet and got a 15-yard penalty. DeMeco addressed that. We'll have that audio for you next.